official podcast of the unofficial movies of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. My name is Absentee Justin.
And I am Absentee Andy.
And if you love comics, if you love movies, or even if you just love
cryogenic freezing,
then this show is for you. That's right, folks. We cryogenically froze ourselves, and we are coming to you from the future. Is that how cryogenic works?
That's right. It's just like a time machine.
That's right. Yeah. That's what...
Who, ice.
Who did that? Like, who was the person doing that? Al Gore? No, that's not right.
Disney.
That's the one. The two, because they both are on Futurama. Andy.
Yeah, what's up?
It's been a long time since we've done one of these.
That's true.
Do you think people were sad about that?
Well, we didn't get any complaints, so
that's true.
But we're back
anyway.
I think we
had a few people say, like, hey, you guys gonna keep doing that? And I said, yeah, eventually. Just life. You know, Andy's a busy guy, and I became busy, and then we're also dealing with quarantine stuff. You know the drill, people.
Everyone knows what's going on.
The drill people who live down in the mines.
They enemies of the mole people.
Yeah.
they combat each other for underworld supremacy.
So if you haven't figured it out, we don't have a guest today. It's just pure Andy and Justin.
That's right.
Just straight from the source.
Mm-hmm. To your veins.
Yeah, that's right. Hit us up. Well, okay. Going too far now. So today, we thought we'd do something a little different. Since we've been... I mean, the last episode, Andy. The last episode was Echo. The last episode we did was Echo.
Right.
That was our overall 35th... Well, I guess not overall. It's hard to cap. You know, point is, we are like halfway through our second season, and then we just stopped making good stuff happen. And so to kind of make up for that, I suppose, we really want to give you and your delightful little ears something, a little gift, I suppose, something to make up for all the lost weeks that you were not listening to us. And so what we thought would be fun is, what do we think, Andy?
The idea was to take,
we've barely talked about this,
some really minor characters from MCU movies and just kind of give them their own mini-sode, essentially. So
yeah,
maybe we'll get through like four or five of them and just kind of churn out some stories for these minor characters from the movies.
Yeah.
And we're talking minor. Like
real minor. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they're still adults, but they're very minor.
Yeah.
I don't have any kids on my list. Did you put any kids on your list?
No. And actually, now that I think about it, characters that I chose might even be too big.
Yeah, I tried to go for real obscure ones to the point where I had to Google their name didn't even know it.
Maybe we should work off your list then.
Maybe, but I think we can kind of deliberate a bit too. So let's see, we're just about 5 minutes in here. So we'll say in the next we'll say we have, 45 minutes.
45
minutes to come up with as many just obscure. This is a speed round. Speed round for your viewing or listening pleasure. So the clock starts now. Andy, who's on your list? Who do you got?
So I love Thor Ragnarok. It's a great movie, and I think, you know, there's two characters in particular that are kind of fan favorites in Korg and Meek, and I'm always curious, like, what their backstory was, especially since we get just a little bit of a hint at it whenever Korg is talking about how he wanted to plan a revolution on his planet, but nobody came.
Fantastic.
So, I'd be interested in that.
Can I take that and curveball it a bit?
Yes, please.
I wonder, okay, so when I was looking, when I was making my list, I was trying to come up with characters that I feel like we have never touched on in any of our episodes before. And since I feel like we did do a Korg and Meek bit with
We did do a bit. Yeah, they were on a YouTube video.
They had a YouTube channel. And yes. So I'm not opposed to doing more of that. I think and I think it'd be fun even if we had them appearing in maybe some of these other some of these little films. Mm-hmm. But I would love to encourage us and maybe we do go more off my list then. But I think let's So for instance, Thor Ragnarok, sticking with that movie. There's another character. No, wait, is it Thor Ragnarok? No, I'm sorry. It's Thor the Dark World. There's a number of characters from Thor the Dark World that I have on my list, actually. But the one that I was thinking of was, if you remember, there is a Matt Damon makes an appearance. Do you remember
that? As the actor.
Yeah.
That's Ragnarok.
Is it Ragnarok? Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. So Ragnarok. So this.
That's funny.
I wanted to make a film. What if we made a film about the actor who plays, I guess, Thor? He plays Loki.
He plays Loki. Yeah.
He's just an Asgardian actor. What is that life like? Is he a god? Is he just he's just an Asgardian?
Yeah. Do all the Asgards have like superhuman strength and abilities, or is it just like the royal family?
Man, that's a fantastic question. I don't think so.
Because the warriors are strong and the proficient.
Warriors three.
Yeah.
Oh, R.I.P. to those guys. Jesus. Oh my.
And what a terrible
way to end their story. I thought they could have done so many fun things with that, and they were just like, nope, we're just, sorry, big spoilers. If just go ahead and assume there's spoilers all over the place for MCU stuff, people, on this one. So if you haven't watched like all the movies, maybe just go do that first. But or just listen to this and don't really care. Hela just like kills the Warriors three.
Yeah, it was pretty sad. And I get like, okay, you're talking about how strong she is and showcasing that by letting her take out the Warriors three so easily. But at the same time, you know, they deserved a better exit than that.
They did. Okay. So we're going to give ourselves three more minutes on this one.
Great.
What is the Asgardian actor movie or maybe it's a Disney Plus short that's coming out starring Matt Damon.
Right.
Because the Asgardians are all but wiped out now. Mm-hmm. I like the idea that this is like a prequel, like leading up to that performance, perhaps.
Sure.
It's like a break.
Yeah.
And maybe he's hand selected by Odin / Loki to play himself. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's, I think it's your typical, trying to make it like, is there trying to make it in the big city? Is there like a small town area of Asgard where like he grows up and dreams of one day moving to the urban center where the theater life is, more active?
That's a really good question. I'm checking. The only thing that's coming up when I Google it is how they named the like new Asgard, the little village in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so right.
I don't want to spend too much time Googling that, but
so maybe it's not that, but maybe it's more like his family. You know, their business is blacksmithery or something like that.
Sorry to interrupt, but also I mean, like the Warriors Three, like there aren't who is it, Hogan? I believe is his name. He's, I think, not from Asgard. He's from another realm. So technically, this guy doesn't have to be Asgardian. He could just be a guy who like rose up so highly in the acting ranks to get to become an Asgardian the actor, I suppose.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe, no, yeah, maybe there's some sort of like, so he's got a family and they are actually kind of like traveling merchants. Mm-hmm. And he's from a different realm. And they happen to be at Asgard when, I don't know, something attacks them, like space pirates or something.
Sure.
But he is able to escape somehow through deception or through like pretending to be somebody that he's not.
Yes.
And so because of that.
Yeah. And maybe it's Loki. Maybe he pretends to be Loki and then mm-hmm. like Loki and like the word spreads, you know, people are like, oh, did you hear about Loki? Like taken down or like, walking away without a scratch on. Uh-huh. And then Loki eventually finds this guy and is like, I heard you were, a fan or something like that. And
yeah.
So then he hires him to come up and do this big performance. And then...
So this is like his first acting gig at all.
Right. Yeah. It's a real origin story for this guy.
Yeah. And then it ends with him like doing a one-man show, but then there's no audience because they've all aborted the ship to get away from Asgard.
And then he's going down with the ship.
He's the only one who's left on Asgard whenever the giant flaming sword destroys the whole thing. Oh my god.
That's so good. Yeah. Do you think he just assumed all the audience leaving was like because of his bad performance, but he was like too proud to stop, and mm-hmm. so he didn't even think to check. It was just a one-man show.
Yeah, I mean he really was riding, you know, the thrill of being able to perform for who he thought was Odin. He was like, okay, people saw me in this. I've been working on my own show. Here we go. We get him backstage, like doing deep breaths, and then he comes out. And there's just nobody there until a flaming sword slices through the middle of the theater.
I love it. Okay, that's one movie. Boom, done.
Let's move on. Tragic ending.
I'm going to push us over into something older. So if you remember, these are all going to be such duds. I love it so much. The movie The Incredible Hulk.
Oh, you're going to have to help me out here.
Well, okay, I'll help you out then. So Lou Ferrigno, the voice of the Hulk, and of course the portrayal of the Hulk back in the 90s TV show, mm-hmm. He has a cameo appearance in The Incredible Hulk, where basically Edward Norton, Bruce Banner, is like trying to get into his old lab, but he's like wanted man. So he dresses up like a pizza delivery guy, and then he goes inside and he tries to like sneak basically past the security guard played by Lou Ferrigno. He basically like Ferrigno puts his foot down and says like, you can't do that. And then he's basically like, you know, I got to deliver these, something like that. Hey, you know what? I got a large, that, you know, isn't going anywhere. You want it? And like, you let me through and I'll deliver these and you get this one. It's a win-win. And Ferrigno's like, all right, I'll take it. So I wanted to do a movie about this security guard who lets down, like what happens to him after this? He's just eating his pizza and then, and by a movie, I mean, it's a short. This is a short.
Right.
Pizza. If it's the moment I'm thinking of, and maybe it's mm-hmm. not, but you know what? Screw it. Let's just say it is.
We're making it up.
Because regardless, it's the same campus that later there's a huge attack that happens. Have you never seen this movie?
I think I watched it once a long time ago. Yeah.
I mean, it's rough, but it's not as bad as people say it is, personally. Yeah. I like it. I like parts of it. But anyway, there's a big, like, the military comes, and there's just there's a whole bunch of chaos that happens on the campus, mm-hmm. Whether it's the same day or later. But I think, basically, I would love – I picture this as being like a – maybe it's like a like S.H.I.E.L.D. because again, this is way back then. Maybe like we have Phil Coulson questioning this Lou Ferrigno character mm-hmm. about like the day of or something like that. And it's just, and so we're getting like Lou Ferrigno's voice,
kind of like the whole movie is like in an interrogation room, but like we have flashbacks
to the day of, and like it's just him. But it's leading up to the fact that this guy basically, like, he hasn't eaten all day. He's just tired, like, and he's just like, free pizza. Yeah, fuck the system. I'll take that pizza. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Maybe he's like, his boss is like a huge dick or something.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's like, something that's always interesting is like, why do these, you know, minor or one line characters do the things that they do? And so we get a little bit of backstory there, a little bit of juice.
Right.
Like, of course he took the pizza. It makes total sense.
Yes. Yes. All right. Well, I don't know. That's one, maybe.
Yeah, that's another one. Let's count it.
Let's just count it. Screw it. Let's just.
And he gets fired.
And then he gets fired in the end. Oh, but because of his massive physique, Shield ends up hiring him as a security guard for them.
Yeah.
But like under the condition that he's not allowed to, or under the condition that he like maintains a healthy, balanced diet or something like that. Because,
well, I think it's under the condition that he works for them, but they have to give him one large pizza every day.
That's what it is. Yes. All right, check another one off of the classic MTV list. Okay, let's see. I have 1, 2, 3, 4 more on my like real low level people.
These are great. List. Keep them coming.
Is that okay?
Yep.
Let's see. Let's go for everybody's favorite victim of a gag in the original Guardians of the Galaxy movie. What happens to the prisoner who gets his prosthetic leg taken away? Because, well, let's see, Star-Lord, they're in the prison. Rocket says that he needs the leg. Star-Lord goes and gets it. Mm-hmm. And, like, I guess pays the guy for it, right? And then,
I think so, yeah.
And then it's, like, worthless. I think that's how it is.
Rocket, I think, like, Quill, like, hands it to him. He's like, oh, I didn't actually need that. I just thought it'd be funny.
Yeah. So what happens to the one-legged prisoner when there's a huge prison break?
I think I want to say that there's some sort of, because the gravity gets turned off, and they make some sort of, like, big escape where they're crashing into things until they finally get out. I want to say that this prisoner is also able to escape, but the only reason, like, he would have been caught if he had his prosthetic leg still.
Yes.
And so whatever sort of situation it
is, so good.
He's able to get away, like the door closes or someone like grabs for him. And because there's now no leg there, he is able to.
That's so good. Yeah. What's the exact scenario? I like that. So the prison break starts, and he's like, he hops over to his crew, and they're like, Frank, we're getting out of here. And he's like, yeah, wait for me. And he's hopping along. And then I think one by one, we see them kind of taken out by guards, or they're put back in restraints or different things, until he's the only one left. And then, yeah, I think it's like
maybe someone throws, like, maybe a guard has like something that they would like throw at someone's legs to like trip them up and like catch them. Yes. But instead it just kind of wraps around his one leg and he's
That's
able
so
to just,
perfect.
Like, keep hopping and get away.
That's perfect. So it's like a gun. It's like a almost like a plasma type gun, but it shoots like a little bolo. What are those called? Bolo. Yeah.
Like a cord. You know,
like a classic
two balls on. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, a classic rope with two balls on the end. You guys,
yeah,
know
but it's like
about.
It's probably because it's Guardians of the Galaxy. It's probably glowy and spacey. And
yeah, stuff. Yeah, it's space rope and space balls. Yeah, that's what it is. he's like, hey, losers, hops along, and he Does he get caught in the end, or does he actually get away on like a like an escape pod? And then
I think he gets away on an escape pod, and you know, he's able to. He's actually a family man this whole time, so he's able to go back to his home planet and see his kids again. It's been a long time. He was framed originally, and so, but then one of his children get taken. And so he has to go on a journey to get his kids back.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Wait, hold on.
And he has a very specific set of skills.
Yes. Okay. Very good. I thought that's where you were going with that. That's the sequel for sure. That's called Taking My Leg. Oh no, that's really bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's not call it that.
So yeah, okay, he gets away, he goes back and sees his family, and then there's some sort of kicker at the end where, where he, his child, who he's never met before, like Con Air style, actually builds him a new leg out of Legos. That's what it is. That found the answer. That's
it's a baby genius.
The heartwarming ending. Okay, good. Ching! That one's good.
Three down.
Three down. Okay. Next, we have
content you're getting.
Are you all pleased? Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?
So, okay, this one, we'll see how this goes. So, if you remember, Chris O'Dowd was in the MCU at one point. He played Chris O'Dowd, comedian, British white man, and he that's how I describe him.
Google him.
Yeah, Google him. Everybody at home, Google him.
Not Chris O'Donnell.
Chris O'Dowd. And so D-O-W-D, okay. Right? And so he played a character named Richard Madison, who basically had the impossible job of trying to follow up Thor for the love of Jane Foster. So in the beginning of Thor the Dark World, Jane hasn't seen Thor for like 2 years or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. And so she's trying, I forget if she's doing it or if like Darcy set her up basically, but basically she's trying to like move on, and she ends up going on a date with Richard Madison, this guy who's like legitimately trying to like woo her. And I forget, because like all of us, you know, Thor the Dark World kind of is a bit of a glaze over for me. I feel like he's a nice guy. So we're just going to go with the assumption that he was actually like a genuine, you know, decent person who was like just trying to like find love in this crazy old world. And, I don't think he knows that he's following up Thor, or does he? I don't remember, but,
they kind of had a famous, I mean, right?
Thor. For the sake of it, let's just say they did. Let's just say that he knows that he's going on a date with Jane Foster. He knows that he has to somehow measure up to Thor. But basically we see him twice in this movie. The first is on a first date with her, where Darcy eventually comes in and interrupts because Thor has returned, and Jane's like, okay, I'm leaving, basically. And then later on, I think he calls her to ask to like see if she wants to go on a second date. But she's in like the ether; she's like on another world at this point. And
she's got great reception.
I think that's literally the joke that Chris Hemsworth makes in that moment. And so that's the last we see of him. So what happens to our poor Richard Madison?
I think
because this is definitely going to be a rom-com.
Yeah, I think he might like keep pining, right? Keep holding the flame for Jane Foster. We never see him again.
We never see him again. But here's the other thing: we also don't see Jane again
after this movie.
After that movie, and although, as many of us know, she, you know, Natalie Portman is returning to play Jane Foster in the next Thor movie, but there's a big gap of time in between there. So does he eventually like have that second date with her?
So here's what I think. I think he keeps, trying to get in touch with her.
Yeah.
Somehow. She works at where? Are you like a, she's a researcher, a professor?
She's a, yeah, she's like a cosmologist. No, I don't know. I'm not going to make up. But she, I think she starts working for S.H.I.E.L.D., does she? I think there's like a throwaway line where they're just like, oh yeah, this is what's been happening with Jane since you last saw her. I think in Age of Ultron, Thor has a line about it, but for the sake of it, we'll just say she's, I mean, she's definitely a scientist. She's definitely,
do we think that she stopped appearing in movies because they just didn't write her very well for her?
Oh yeah. Well, I think there was a whole thing about Natalie Portman just kind of being pissed off, appropriately so, with the fact that she was nothing more than arm candy in these movies.
Yeah.
And, she just wasn't a very well, you know, constructed character. I mean, yes, they gave her like smarts and whatnot, but she still didn't have a ton to do. She ended up typically always being like a damsel distress type character. Right. So I don't know. I mean, I, you know, they could have done better there, but, I think that's the big reason that she walked. I believe it was kind of her choice, but you know,
yeah,
now they have better writing and now there's, more money, so she came back.
So she's coming back. Can't blame
her. And she gets to play Thor. I mean, that's yeah. You'd come back for that.
That's a good upgrade. So in that case, then I kind of want us to bridge the gap between Thor 2 and the upcoming new Thor movie where she is playing Thor. I want Thor 2 to be the beginning of the movie, and then I want the new Thor to be the end of the movie.
Okay, so it's just like 5 years in the life of Jane Foster through the eyes of Richard Madison.
Mm-hmm.
So, not like in a stalker way, although that is an interesting take. But I guess maybe it's just like an on-again, off-again relationship for them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, after she hung up on him because she was in space, you know, maybe a year later he's down on his luck, and yet he, you know, he sees a thing of her in the news, and he says, you know what, hey Jane, it's me, Richard, you know, whatever, wondering if you wanted to saw you in the news, hope that or congrats on that, you know, new discovery that you made or whatever it is. And, and because she is, maybe she's pressured into it, or maybe she genuinely does want to just kind of, move on from Thor. She accepts.
I mean, the last experience she had was getting possessed with some sort of dark power that nearly tore her body apart. So,
right. And then, I believe the end of that second movie, like the after credits, or like the end of that second movie, is Jane doesn't, like, Thor comes back and like just like hard makes out with Jane on the, like, on the patio at the end of Thor the Dark World. I think that's one of the credits.
It's just them making out.
Well, because she's like eating cereal. I remember this scene vividly, and then I remember it because Chris Hemsworth. So like there was a thing about I think Natalie Portman couldn't come back. It was like a reshoot or something, and they couldn't get her back or something like that because she was already moving on to something else. And so
he made out with a mannequin.
Chris's wife, actually looks, I guess, maybe she looks sort of similar to.
Close
I forget exactly what it is,
from
but
the right angles.
He's actually making out with his own wife in that shot, which is why they. I mean, they're just like making out hard. And anyway. That's all we see of their relationship, except for a few times where he talks about her later on. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's.
I feel like that's where the movie picks up.
Okay.
And
he's standing beneath them with flowers, like he was gonna come. He was gonna come to her house, and like
he was about to knock, and then all of a sudden a giant rainbow bridge, like. He sees a pier in her backyard or something.
That's so good. Okay. Yeah, that's so good.
But after they're done making out, she takes a moment and is like, listen, I can't deal with this anymore.
Yeah.
Like, this last thing almost got me killed. You know, you're a hero. I know it, but that doesn't mean you can always protect me. And you have a whole universe. Cause that's her first time being off world, right?
Yeah, it is.
So,
yes.
So maybe throughout all of that, she like had this discovery, like, oh man, Thor doesn't just need to take care of like me and the people around me. He's got a whole universe that he needs to take care of.
Yeah.
And so she kind of severs that connection, knowing that. Plus, she's got her own shit to deal with too. She's got to focus on her stuff. And so he leaves. They broke up after right. they made out.
Right. Uh-huh. I like it. And then, okay, so then what happens?
And then she needs to get out of the house for a little bit. And so she opens the door. And there's, what's his face?
Richard.
Like, or maybe he's in like so in his car. Just,
it's in that exact moment. Okay, sure. I buy it. So he's got the flowers and everything, and and he's like, oh hey, I was wanting to ask you. I don't know how Chris O'Dowd talks. I forget.
I think he's Irish.
Yeah, that makes more sense. and he, but he asks her, and she's like, you know what? Yes, yeah, let's do it. You know what? I think she legitimately liked him. I mean,
It kind of turns into a rom-com, and it, you know, in typical fashion, they're like, oh, we're getting to know each other, little montage of like falling in love and things are great. And then the thing that drives them apart is, you know, Chris, whatever his name is. What's the character's name?
I think too, every time the event, like every time that they like have take like a step towards like kind of finding a stronger relationship, like some Avengers news article comes and it's just Thor flying through the air.
That's great.
And it's like, ah, Thor keeps getting in the, like, this is just the trailer. It's just like, this is me, Richard Madison. I'm no God, but hey, I'm still a man.
I still have feelings. This is pre-New York, right?
This is post-New York.
Oh, okay.
This is post-New York. This is pre-Sokovia.
Okay, so then, yeah, maybe that's like the big news story then that keeps popping up while they're trying to maintain a relationship.
Yeah, and then just all kinds of things like that. Every time that, you know, and then he's like he's about to ask her to move in with him after like 2.5 years or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then the freaking, you know, the world ends and half of the people are, does he get dusted? Does he get,
oh shit.
like he's about to propose to her.
Yeah, he goes down on one knee and he pops the question, and then she's about to say I, and then he doesn't hear the end of it because he turns into dust.
like the whole movie is just him. He can't get over, like, he can't get around the idea, but then he finally breaks through, and and she actually, like, it seems like it's gonna work, and then he proposes.
Can't catch
and
a break.
And then he's dusted, and
sets up a sequel.
And then we get him coming back 5 years later, and he shows back up at her apartment, and it's just like, maybe it's just Darcy there because she's moved and Darcy took her apartment or something.
Yeah.
And it's just like Kat Dennings saying like, sorry, dude, she's moved up, on or something like that.
Sorry, dude.
Yeah. And that's the saddest ending, but I love it.
Most of these have been tragic endings. I think that's okay.
That's true. All of these little characters, that's definitely my favorite so far. That one flows, man. That's good. We got to come up with a catchy title for that one.
A Thor heart.
A Thor heart. Good. Yeah. I was trying to do something with God bod, but I like I like a Thor heart. That's really good. Okay. That's four movies. People, that's four movies in 40 minutes. That's weird. Yeah, we're doing about one every 10 minutes. That's not bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
One more, yeah?
One more. One Alrighty. More. Do you have a ringer? that you want to throw out? Because I'm looking at my list, and I mean, they're fine, but I don't think any of them are going to be as good as what we just did. So maybe we should just throw it out. We'll go with whatever it is you say. I promise. I won't shut it down again like a dick.
You promise?
I promise.
All right. Well, let me think now if I need to pick a good one here. I want one of the guys from Ant-Man's squad.
His crew. Yeah. I thought about that too. I thought about that too. And then I was like, you know what? They're probably going to come back in Ant-Man 3. So how do we tie together? Like, basically, what has happened to – I mean, I don't know. What do you think? Is it an origin of how that squad got together? Because we never really see that either.
Right.
Or is it a – like, what's been happening to them since – because I'm 89% sure, no, 95% sure that there's going to be talk in Ant-Man 3 about what those three have been doing since the world ended. But, I mean, do we want to just fill in that gap, or is it more fun to create, like, how these three met in, like, a heist
fashion? I wouldn't mind, yeah. Like, they start off not knowing each other, and then we bring them together.
Okay, hang on. I got to look up their names. Let's see. So I know Luis is one of them because that's my guy. That's Michael Pena. And he is the talkative guy, right? He's kind of the face. If we're going with like a classic, like Danny Ocean style crew, I'd say Luis is definitely the face of the group. Mm-hmm. And then you have...
So it's David Dastmalchian who plays Kurt.
Right.
And then T.I. who plays Dave.
Dave. Okay. And Dave is like the tech... No, Kurt is the tech guy, right? Oh, shit. I forget. I forget. I could be wrong here. I think Dave is like the tech guy. T.I. Mm-hmm. is the tech guy. And then David Dastmalchian's character, Kurt, is like the... He's like, he always like, isn't he like driving the car? And he's got like the, regardless of where they end up, we can just say that's where they start out as like, like low level criminals. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. In my mind, it's Luis, maybe from Luis's point of view, because I think Michael Pena is just a fantastic actor. And I think, as much as he shines in these movies, I want him to have his own movie.
For sure, yes, agreed.
Okay, so Luis, so what do we know about Luis? Because like when what's his name, Scott gets out of prison, Scott gets out of prison, Luis like tells, he's like, how's the family? And he's like, oh, you know, my mom died and my dad left and
just
all
lists
this stuff,
all the terrible
but
things.
I got the van, right? That's like the that's like the punchline. And so maybe it's is it about him trying to get this van? maybe he's not is the van Okay. What if it's a heist film, but instead of like some like grand thing, they're actually just trying to get the van back from the impound lot, and that's like the heist.
I love it. That's
they're
great.
Trying to get his van, or it's like his mom's van or something like that.
Yeah. And so does he know like Kurt and Dave at this point, or he like meets them and.
I like the idea that I like the idea that he meets them in this heist. So maybe Dave is like working at like I like the idea that they're all just kind of like regular guys. So like Dave's working at like AT&T or something. and then he's like, maybe Luis is like getting his phone fixed or something, and he makes like, oh, that's what it is. He's getting his phone fixed and Dave is kind of like helping him out, and then he sees a picture of he sees a bunch of pictures of the impound lot because Luis has been like what do you call it
staking the joint,
staking out outside of it,
casing
not staking,
staking out in order to case the joint.
So maybe he he sees that, and maybe he, or maybe he sees something else. Maybe it's something more like illegal or something on his phone.
I think that works, because he could even like bring it up in conversation, like taking a lot of pictures of this. Photography class or something.
I think he legitimately just asks him upright, like, "Are you casing this joint?" And he's like, "No, man, I'm staking that joint." So let's see. That's how Dave gets involved, and mm-hmm. Dave's like, "You know what? Why? But what's in it for him?" maybe Luis just talks it up a lot. Like, you know what? Or maybe he says like, "Oh, you're gonna like steal like a really like nice car or something like that." And Luis is kind of like, "Yeah, that's right. That's a really nice car." and he's like, "Okay, I'm in."
Yeah, nice.
So then, how do they get Kurt? What's Kurt doing? I feel like Kurt is just like an exterminator. I don't know why. David yeah. Desmalshin is, I'm sure, like the nicest human being, but he always plays like the weirdest roles. Kurt is like, he's European or something, right?
Yeah, like, yeah,
he's like an Eastern European.
I don't know if it ever gets specified, but yeah, Eastern European.
Okay. I like the idea that he's like a social worker. Mm-hmm. And he's working, I don't know, he's just like working with kids. I don't know where that goes. I just, for some reason, I like that idea.
Is he any good at his job?
Maybe not. Okay, I think Kurt has to have something to do with the impound. Like he's like their, the way that they get in, maybe. He's their inside man.
Yeah, he's the inside guy. I think that's good. If he's already working there, maybe he's like a tow truck driver. Ooh,
yeah, because he's a driver, right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's really good. He's a tow truck driver.
Who also is a social worker on the side.
Yeah, that's important to the story. So yeah, Kurt is a tow truck driver. And Luis sees him coming in and out of the impound all the time. And he's like, that's our man. That's our way in. So mm-hmm. Luis and Dave go find Kurt at his job as a social worker.
Or and, they, yeah. I was going to say either that or they like pretend to have their car break down or something so that he.
That's good.
They like are able to rendezvous with him where it's not suspicious looking.
I think it's both. I think that. I think they have their car breakdown outside of his social working job.
Yeah. Are any of you also a tow truck driver?
Wait a second. I am. This is starting to feel like that episode of The Office where Michael and Dwight go to what's it called? The small time paper company, the family.
Oh yeah.
And they're like and then their car actually, you know,
actually breaks down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So cool. So then, yeah. So then they recruit Kurt because he, but maybe and, Kurt,
and,
yeah.
And maybe Kurt, because he is the tow truck driver, he's been on the inside. So he knows like the
all
fancy
the nice cars.
He's like, he's imagining like, oh yeah, this one or this one or this one.
That's good.
And so there's this great moment. It's like, is this the one? And then there's that moment of Louise going, actually, it's this one over here.
Yeah, Luis just like runs over to her and he's like, there she is. And he like runs over and they're like, what the fuck? But then like, you know, cops come right then. And it's like, oh shit, we got to go. And it's like, quick, get in this, van. And they're like, no, mm-hmm. hell no. We're taking the Ferrari. And, but then like, there's maybe they split up and the guys are driving the Ferrari and he's driving the van. And there's a whole chase scene here. And then,
is it the cops or is it a fleet of tow trucks?
I think it's like, I think it's like parking cops, like meter maids, on like Segways and golf carts. and somehow the guys in the Ferrari get like pinned and they're like, damn it. Like, and they get like caught. Mm-hmm. But, in that moment, Luis like pulls up in the van and just like, smashes over all the Segways like not with people on them but just and then basically saves the day and the idea is that the van is just a beast and can take it and then it has sliding panel doors so then like it's like you know he's driving and they're like running to catch up and like jump in and he's like see this The van is good for so much more. Yeah, and then that's pretty much it. And then they decide to like create their own. I would hope that this happens in Ant-Man 3, but mm-hmm. in the comics, Scott Lang actually, along with like reformed, like lower level villains, creates his own security firm, and hires like reformed villains to help him as like security for events and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so I would love to see these guys kind of start some sort of company, like in Ant-Man 3.
Isn't that part of what Ant-Man and the Wasp is?
Oh, do they? Oh, they do. I'm sorry. I haven't seen that movie in quite a while, honestly. I need to rewatch that. That's going to be my next rewatch.
That's a good one.
Yeah, you're right. They do that. Okay.
Yeah, that's their whole subplot is like trying to...
They're trying to be like real business guys. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay. So that's the movie. And then, you know, 1 year later and it's like, or like 6 months later or something like that. And Luis is like, they all have an apartment together or something like that. Yeah. And things are going well. And Luis is like, hey, I'll see you guys later. And they're like, where are you going? I'm going to go pick up my buddy Scott. And then that's it. That's the end of the movie.
Nice.
Boy.
Here we go.
Okay.
Five movies, man.
Look at that. Five movies for the price of one, which is free. One.
Yeah.
Fantastic. What's next for us, Andy? Are we going to do more episodes?
I mean, we should, right?
I mean, yeah, we should. I was thinking about having some sort of like contest, man.
Ooh.
I think we should have a contest.
People like contests.
I like contests because you win things at the end of them. Yeah, so if you're lucky. So hey, look out in the future. First of all, for just more episodes of MC Who, because they're mm-hmm. coming. I promise you, they're coming. We're finally back into some sort of stability in our lives, and we're able to have fun doing this again. So I hope that you've stuck with us through this journey. If this is like your first episode ever listening, I recommend going back and listening to some of the other ones because they are, I'm not going to say better than this one, but they're more, we spend more time on one film and it's just more of a...
We go into more detail.
Yeah, it's
more depth. You really want these characters to be fleshed out.
Exactly.
Complex plot lines.
And also just keep follow us on social media, on our Twitter and our Instagram at MC Who Podcast. Join us on our Facebook group and we'll be that's the MC Who Podcast, and we'll be posting about a contest pretty soon here in the next couple weeks, and we'll need your help with it, so check that out.
You'll have to enter it and possibly win it.
Andy, is there anything else we want to promote? Andy and I both are in a fun little, what would you call it? An actual play podcast. Not podcast.
That's exactly what I would call it.
It's a Twitch stream. It's a YouTube channel.
Videocast.
It is a but actual play. So I lead a group of role players like Andy and a few other friends. And we basically go through an adventure, a story. It's completely improvised, just like this show is. So we really have no idea what's happening next. I mean, I do a little bit, but even then it's, you know, who knows? So yeah, if you want to follow that, you can find it on both Instagram and Twitter at GhostlightKC. That's GhostlightKC. And then also find us on YouTube. Just look up Ghostlight Gamers on YouTube. And we have all of our past episodes on there. I think we're about 10 episodes in at the moment and about to start doing some more as well.
Content.
So yeah.
Yeah, I have, I'm part of an improv duo called Snooze Button. And
hell yeah.
while we're not doing, in-person shows, we're doing some digital improvised sets where we invite a guest, ask them what's on their mind, and then create a story on the spot with them playing the main character and my duo partner Joshua Gleason and I playing all the side characters. And it's very fun. Justin was a guest on one of our episodes.
Yeah, that's right. And it was awesome. I had so much fun. And also, Josh Gleason was a guest on MC Who.
He, multiple-time guest.
He did, yeah, actually, that's true. We did Guillotine, and we also did 3D Man. That's right.
Yeah. You did a full episode 3D with him, right?
And we did a review of some kind together, and I'm trying to remember what it was. I don't remember, though.
It's back there somewhere.
It was last year. Anyway, yeah.
Anyway, you can find us at Digital Snooze Button on YouTube for all our previous sets. And we're going to start doing shows again pretty soon.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for letting us kind of just shamelessly plug all of our fun stuff for you all. I hope that you check some of that out if you like what you're getting from this one. And again, we'll be back in a couple weeks with another episode and possibly a contest. No, definitely a contest. We're going to do it for sure. So until next time.
I'm Andy.
And I'm Justin.
And this episode is in the key of C minor. And the C stands for character because these were all minor characters.
I love it. I love it. You know, these are just as good as any Marvel movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, at least as good as, like, what? Elektra, right? I mean, they're mm-hmm. they're up there with, like, what? The Fantastic Four 2? Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. good.